Right. He's given something in exchange or what? He's given.
No.
Right.
Whenever anyone wants shaving, he shaves them, that's all. And when there's a marriage, he's there. And when the crops are produced, he's given some part, that's all. Given some rice, he'll have maybe a little land himself, produce a few vegetables. And at marriages, he'll get something.
Yeah.
They'll give him something.
Yes.
Every time he shaves, they don't give him anything. It's just it's his duty. He's a barber and he lives in the village and he shaves people, which is maybe once a month.
Right.
That's all.
Right. He's not there's
no payment. It's his job. He does that. It's it's his dharma. It's his duty. And then people, they give. And that's at a wedding or something, they'll give. Money. There's no need of money, actually, for most people.
Right.
Money, but they'll give some, maybe some clothing.
I understand.
You see?
It's a village sort of setup.
The village setup, yeah. The washerman, he's not paid.
He's not paid, exactly.
But he's maintained.
He's maintained. The very traditional.
It's not that every single thing.
This was going on until 50 years ago. This was existent in India. Now it has disappeared.
Now
this was happening in the villages 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Round about the independence time. Only after the 60s and the 70s, the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. I saw the vestiges of it when I first came to India. I came first in 75, then I came to stay in 76.
Oh, right.
So I saw the vestiges of this culture.
Oh, right.
So it's not that you have to be paid for everything you do. Just that everyone does what they are supposed to do when they interact. Brahmana is never paid. The teacher, he teaches, that's all. He studies from his guru and he teaches. That's all. He's not paid. He would never accept payment. Even if they give him. If they say, you come here 3 times a week and you give tutorial and we'll pay you this much, he'll never come. But he'll just sit under the tree and teach. Those who want, they can come. He'll teach. That's all.
And deliberately, dharma is replaced with money.
He deliberately doesn't accept more than he needs. Keeps it just a minimum. He keeps. Then he can maintain his integrity. If you always want something from others, then you can. Then you become
dependent.
then you become duplicitous. But if you're only the Brahman is only giving. That's all.
Only giving. Yeah.
Only giving. Then he accepts. He needs a little food, this, that, the other. He'll accept. Not more than he needs. Or if he accepts, he'll give away to someone else. Also.
Someone else.
Not greedy. Not exploitive. Varnashram is non-exploitive. Modern society is exploitive. So this piecemeal social help is useless, actually.
I understand.
It's just, you know, like if someone's got a high fever and they also happen to have a little scratch on their finger, and instead of treating the fever, you're just interested in the scratch. That's foolishness, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's like that. All these welfare groups, this, that, the other. Just like Mother Teresa, she's so famous for helping the poor of Calcutta. But before she came, there were so many poor people. While she was there, there were so many poor people. And there's still so many poor people. So how did she help the poor people? And even if you do it, I mean, what's the help? Everyone's poor spiritually. So rich or poor, they all die and go to hell. So how did you help? You take people out of the gutters. All their life they're living on the street. And then when they're dying, she'd take them into her home. And then they die in her home. Is that what's the benefit of that? And if they get better, then they're out on the street again.
Yes.
So she's lauded as the greatest welfare worker of the modern age, but she didn't. What was the help? She wanted to convert people to Christianity. She's in the land of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She was never. She had no interest in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It means she had no real God realization. Otherwise she would have recognized.
Right.
And she herself is a meat eater. So what is the welfare? How can she herself is in ignorance, eating meat. Then how can she help others? This way. Welfare work is just a big scam. People think they're helping others. They're just imitating God, but they can't help others. You can't help unless you help them to become free from birth and death. So if you really want to help society, then we have to get to the root of the problem.
Mm.
And treatment will not be very, it may not be very quick and easy, but little bit of real help is worth, you know, any amount of big proclamation, we're doing so much, we're helping so many people, this, that, but you're not actually helping them. I was in Bangladesh, there was some supposed to be devotee, she came, I think she was, I don't know, she was from America. She came and she had some money and she gave some money for building a school, and then she made a video, at that time it was videos, and she presented it in the Western world, calling the video The Angel of Bengal. So the whole thing, she didn't actually, she just built a building, that's all, which is supposed to be used as a school. I don't even know if she finished it. But the whole purpose was just to advertise herself as a great
social worker,
as a great angel, as if every, you know, just nakedly for her own praise. So many people, they just want to be known as great welfare workers.
Oh, a lot of NGOs and social workers coming out and,
yeah, well, they all
and
got
money pours in tons.
And most of it goes to the... I saw in Bangladesh also, that's a place that every so-called welfare organization in the world is in Bangladesh. So I saw in Dhaka, they all have their offices and they just go to these... welfare workers, they get a salary and every night they have a party at a different organization. That's what they're all in Dhaka. You go out in the villages, you never see, I was traveling all over the villages, you never see any sign of them. They're not in the villages, they're all in the city getting fat salaries and having parties. And I visited one of their organizations, CARE, famous organization. They showed me a map of all their projects all over the country. I think at the time there were 40 projects, and they said like 38 had failed. I don't know what they call a success. They're just cheating people. They're just raising money in the name of charity.
In the name of charity and spend for themselves.
Yeah. Even Mother Teresa, I saw some report. Most of the money that came to her was just used, it just went into the Vatican, or stayed in big bank accounts.
Wow.
They didn't use most of it. It just stayed in the Pope's bank account. I don't know. Someone sent me something.
Right.
I don't need a report from the internet to understand that she's, you know, she's not what she's painted out to be. Not a great saint.
This Varnashrama Dharma.
How can she be a great saint if she's eating meat? And had no interest in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you're actually a God-conscious person,
you must come into this.
Then if you are exposed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then naturally you'll be attracted. But she had no interest. She was trying to convert people from their own culture to this beef-eating. Mm. What idea do they have of God if they're killing cows?
Mm.
Beef-eating culture. Varnashram, yeah.
Yes.
Varnashram is a scientific, non-exploitive system, but it's been misused.
Right, yeah.
So the misuse of it is very bad, but the proper use of it is required.
Is required for the evolution of...
Otherwise, society, it's going to be exploitive. Whether capitalist system, communist or whatever, fascist was popular before the Second World War. That was a prominent system of governance. Fascism or any kind
now
of...
How is the probability of the whole other system coming down? See, like, we have ISKCON.
But there
maybe we can call the first order.
No, but just this point, all these systems, they're all... whatever system is there is exploited. Now, in the modern world,
yes,
they want democracy because they don't... Previously, there was...
Kings and rulers.
Yeah, they're autocratic system. The king was in charge. He was the boss. But they rejected that because previously the kings were not only in India, we find in Bhagavad Gita, Naranam Chanaradipam, Lord Krishna says, among men, I am the king. The king was accepted as the representative of God, and the Brahmanas also, in a different way. They were both accepted as representatives of God. And in the Western world also, they, although they don't, you know, their system of religion is very backward, but the king was accepted as the representative of God. And but that broke down when they just used their, or they misused their privileges for exploiting others. So now they believe in democracy, but democracy means it comes down to the same thing: might makes right. Somehow or other, everyone's supposed to have equal rights, but there's no equal rights, and people are being exploited. And it's what democracy means: you come down to the lowest common denominator. That instead of being people guided by high principles, modern society is guided by calm, krodh, and lobe.
Exactly, it's submitting to it.
In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says these are the three gates to hell. But in modern society, runs on these three things. The TV, what is it? Calm means lust. It's all sex. Krodh, sex and violence. And advertisements means lobe. That's all. So this is modern, everything is coming from the whole way of thinking is coming from the TV and all the mass media in general. And it's simply promoting calm, krodh, and lobe. So it's a democracy, because they can exploit people very easily.
With this three.
Purchase Coca-Cola. No one will ever purchase it. If you leave it in the can in the shop, and you don't advertise it, no one will ever buy it because it's completely useless. There's absolutely no benefit to anyone in any way whatsoever. But people buy it because of advertisements, because they've made people stupid. Only stupid people would buy it, but they're selling billions of cans and bottles every year. Because they're deliberately making people stupid so they can exploit them. The whole education system, they think that they become more intelligent, but actually they become more stupid. If you find young children, before they get much educated, they ask questions. Who is God? Where have we come from? But after more years in the education system, they don't ask those questions. Exactly. Because they become more stupid. The education makes them more foolish. And they think that the real purpose of life is just to get money and earn money and get a job and work hard all your life and just get a big house and a big car and that's it. And there's nothing more to life than this. It means they're stupid. They're spoiling their human mind. And to tell you the truth, it's very difficult to convince even our own devotees that they should live simply on the land. They're also fascinated by modern society. Why? I have no idea. I think they're not reading Prabhupada's books. They must be taken to Krishna consciousness sentimentally. But how you can be fascinated by this demoniac society, how you can chant Hare Krishna at all, have any affinity towards the modern way of life, it bewilders me, because it just works. Everything in modern life works against the uplift of the soul. But we have to show, we have to demonstrate something. We have to demonstrate a proper alternative. So establishing...
Unless we demonstrate and prove it, people are not going to take it convincingly.
They won't, like I say, even our own devotees don't believe it, because they believe that happiness, or that one has to have some material comfort, and they believe that material comfort...
Can use some.
No, they believe that material comfort means living in the city and having electricity. But they don't see that, what is this, living in a cement building which is so hot in the summer. And having so much anxiety, everyone in modern life is in anxiety. And then the way you have to work and the city you have to live in is so uncomfortable and so horrible. And all the time you're bombarded by advertisements, buy this, buy that. That they can't understand that actually it's much better in every way, that even materially, to live on the land. There is some physical discomfort if we're used to the city life. But the mental peace that you get and the sense of fulfillment you get from just growing food and offering it to Krishna, people don't know. People even know, they don't know what the taste of food is, because all the food is grown with chemicals, genetically modified, and then when you buy it, it's already not fresh. Yeah. So people don't know what the taste of food is, and it doesn't give any proper nourishment.
Right now, the way the world, the government and the media is working, it's taking all this computer, education, everything into the village schools.
Yeah, they want...
The government established village schools only to give it's a knowledge of writing.
It's called the war on poverty. It's what it actually is the war on poverty. Actual human civilization.
They're trying to support village schools.
They think that poverty means if you don't have 24 hours electricity and a TV, that's poverty. If you have to walk more than 50 meters for anything, that's a sign of poverty.
If you don't have, the whole values are perverted and the whole understanding is...
Yeah, so we have to make it an alternative society.
How to work on it, address it, like as you do.
Well, there are some devotees in India who started working on that. You can go and visit.
I would like to get some input.
Go and visit them.
And I did a little work here and there. after reading your books, you know, like Prabhupada's books, I really found out that India is an autopiloted condition.
going to hell.
Going to hell. And the next is, after this crash, like I have some vision, you know, we can have some Krishna conscious leaders emerging to give direction. And I've been working on this angle, how to get values and all this and that, you know. And what I really found was the media is blocking the entry, number one. And I've met a lot of social workers and I've met a lot of political leaders too. They're trying to say
political leaders are all rascals. They have absolutely no idea of helping the people less or doing anything good for the people.
Unfortunately, my voice could not be heard.
They only do good for someone. They have to be paid for everything.
Everything. They have to be paid for everything.
Democracy in India is a flop.
Total flop. Yeah. But they talk India's democracy to be vibrant. The reality is that... What do you say?
Reality is Mr. Ambani is getting richer and richer every
year. He's now 300,000 crores.
Yeah.
300,000 crores he is.
I suggest...
Me finish with this.
Yeah, okay.
I try to meet all these people.
Yeah, okay,
and
right,
I found out that everyone is working with an ulterior motive.
Yeah, even the so-called social workers.
Social workers. They are all having drawing salaries and sending bills and giving projects, tabular columns, expense accounts, and try to maintain the grant coming in. And I met all these political...
Scientists also.
Even in universities.
Yeah, yeah.
But even universities also there is corruption. When they sanction 2 crores, unless you reimburse 20 lakhs, that 2 crores is not coming from UGC.
Right, right, right.
Corruption has entered UGC as well. To get the sanction happen, you'll have to part...
UGC, what's that?
University Grants Commission.
Everything in Indian life is corrupt.
So if one university has to take money from UGC...
That's predicted in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Right, yeah, yes.
That Vrita Meva Kalonrinam, that one will be considered... a real man or a real successful person if he has money. I can't remember the Sanskrit. Nyaya, the word is, one cannot get justice.
Nyaya, yes. Nyaya without, is justice.
Yeah, yeah, but I can't remember the whole pada.
Needy.
That without, if you have money, you get justice. That's it.
Right.
Money and justice are interchangeable.
Right, okay.
I just can't remember the Sanskrit right now. Yeah, so... Yeah.
And what happened? Maybe my desire for Because being Krishna consciousness, I have a burning desire to do something for these people. Simultaneously, you know, like there is, you know, they are going to have a tragic end. India has got a tragic end.
Everyone.
Yes. The whole world, in fact. Yeah. Like terror is multiplying.
Any time there can be a major disaster. The whole economic system can collapse at any time. If the oil supply is stopped, then all this modern civilization is
finished.
A city like New York, if there's no oil supply, they'll be finished. 20 million. If you take New York, New Jersey, all the together, the northern New Jersey. There's like 20 million people living there, and they require daily food. If the food doesn't come in, what are they going to do? They're just going to riot and kill each other, that's all. Where the food, if it doesn't come, they're finished. Britain imports more than, I think it's like 80% of its food or more, maybe 90%.
Oh, Britain.
Okay. Yeah, if they don't import, they're finished. If the oil is stopped, the oil supply is stopped, they're finished. If there can be an economic collapse, the whole thing is all so artificial, it can all collapse at any time.
Even demand is artificial.
And they're worried about Iran with its nuclear bombs. Well, they can, of course, Iran's worried about America's nuclear. You know, if Iran bombs someone, they're terrorists. If America bombs someone, it's for justice and peace and humanity and this and that. Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that was humanitarianism. They were benefiting the Japanese people by bombing them to pieces. Dresden, that was much worse. You know about that? At the end of the Second World War, in eastern part of Germany, there was a city called Dresden. And the Russians, the war was over for all practical purposes. The Germany was finished. The Allied, it means British and American, mostly troops, Australia and this, that. They were in the western part of Germany and the Russians were in the east and they were coming together. And the Germans, they were just sending boys to fight. They had nothing left. There was no hope for them. So there was one city, Dresden, and so many refugees retreating from the Russian advance were in Dresden. And the British and Americans, they firebombed that city. There was no way for anyone there to resist. There was no military purpose to be served. There were hundreds of thousands of citizens. There was nothing military to be gained. And it was like in Hiroshima, there were 100,000 killed, they say. In Nagasaki, maybe about the same. In Dresden, there were several hundred thousand killed. There's nothing, they suggest that the reason it was done, the Americans and British did it to show. The only reason they can think of is they did it to show the Russians how much power they had. Burned the city. They bombed it with fire bombs and they dropped thousands of bombs and burned the whole city down and killed hundreds of thousands of people.
All that karma will reflect on America.
So anyway, I'm just making the point. Yeah, we're talking about, you're saying there can be disaster at any time. What they call terrorists, they can just
multiply
nuclear bombs.
Every atom they try to solve terrorism, it's multiplying.
Or they can poison the water supply, they can set off some gases.
Yes.
Or so many things they can do. So there can be disaster at any time. Like you say, AIDS is going
on. It's multiplying.
They don't care.
And tons and tons of money is put into the solving this and this multiplying. You see the amount of money and the resources pumped to fight terror or to fight AIDS.
Fight terror.
They themselves are terror.
In America, every day, there are literally millions of animals killed. And in India, how many... what's the present population of India? It's about...
110 crore, 1.1 billion.
Yeah, 1.1 billion. So if you say there's, say on average there's one chicken eaten by every 1,000 Indians. Among every 1,000 Indians per day, if there's one chicken eaten, that's a pretty conservative. All right, let's just take that as a figure. So how many chickens are killed a day?
ஆயிரத்துக்கு ஒரு கோடி பண்ணாங்க. Then for a
lakh, 1,100 million. So that means 110 million chickens every day. No, no, 110 million, 11 million. Yeah, over 1 million.
Divided by 1,000.
Yeah, it's over a million.
Ah, yeah.
If you say
it's over a million.
Yeah,
million.
If you say one chicken is
eaten by
between 1,100 Indians, then it'll be 1,000. Then it'll be 1 million chickens a day.
Yes.
In India.
So it's 1000 பேர் ஒரு கோழி சாப்பிட்டா கூட 10 லட்சம் கோழி சாப்பிடலாம் ஒரு நாளைக்கு. It should be more than that. Even in Namakkal, which is a
poultry. Namakkal is a poultry
center. Poultry center.
Everywhere there's if you go on the, if you drive from Vijayawada to Madras, you'll see both sides of the road, so many poultry farms.
Ah.
In Gujarat also, there's so many, which used to be vegetarian.
Mm.
So many, everywhere.
Mm.
So that's a conservative, as a conservative estimate, there are 1 million chickens every day in India.
Killed.
So who's a terrorist?
Ah.
They're tortured all their life, and then they're killed.
Mm.
When there was this bird flu, they were reporting they were killing so many lakhs of chickens. They would have been killed anyway. So who's a terrorist? Now, I suggest that you you move around and meet a few devotees.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
There are a few devotees in India who have got this idea, you know.
Okay.
They've picked, most of them, like I say, most of them, they don't have this idea. They don't, they didn't catch it.
Right.
They're, in many of our centers, they're just interested. They build a temple, people come, they give a donation, and they're happy. As in any temple, anywhere.
Okay.
But there are some devotees who've got the idea of what we should be doing.
Ah, yeah. Maybe we can aim at governance or leadership.
Well,
there's
some you could go and meet Gokul Chandra. He's in Salem.
Uh-huh.
He's got some idea
of right.
what we actually should be doing. Gokul Chandra in Salem. You can give the phone number.
Okay.
Then,
mm-hmm.
in just outside Belgaum, there are some devotees.
In Karnataka?
Yeah, North Karnataka. There are some devotees who are living on the land, and they have a quite a large piece of land. How much is it?
I don't know.
They have more than 200 acres, I think.
Be very big acres.
But and they've been there for a few years, and they have a plan to develop a Varnashram village.
Ah.
But it's taking time to come together. One reason is because the land is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to do something about that. But you can go and see Madhav. He's there.
Okay.
I think they don't have electricity,
mm-hmm.
which is good. But they do have, they keep a battery so that they can charge, they have cell phones so that they can communicate with the devotees in Belgaum city. So Madhav, he must be having a cell phone. I don't know how to contact, you know how to contact anyone in Belgaum?
It's called Belgaum center, you can contact
them. Yeah, okay, and then they can give you the number. Mm-hmm. Or if you just go to Belgaum,
and Pando,
right? Go to the ISKCON center and then ask to go to the farm. There's a bus which goes past the...
Mm-hmm. Some local jury must go with them.
Yeah,
they can't find directly the farm.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to find... Yeah. But the bus goes past.
Bus goes past.
Mm-hmm.
But something... Once
but how about the chances I...
And then one more, I'm telling you.
Yeah, sure.
Just outside,
yeah.
Ahmedabad or Ahmadabad or... Ahmedabad, whichever way you want to say it. Gujarati say Ahmedabad. And in English it's Ahmedabad. And in Hindi it's Ahmedabad. Something like that. So outside there we have 100, how much is it? 100 acres or something? So there are some devotees there who are worth meeting and discussing these things with. There's Savyasachi. You must have Savyasachi's phone number?
Yes, I have.
So you could go there and meet him too. It's worth it.
Right.
It's worth to see what they're doing and what their vision is, because I'm just talking theoretically here.
Right.
But there are people who have, you know, they've rolled their sleeves up and they've gone to the land and they're doing something.
Right.
So They know a lot about the challenges and the realities.
The difficulties and the struggles. Yeah,
but they're sticking it out. I mean, Madhav's been there on that land for maybe, what, 4 years or something?
4 years. It was there before, but he has gone.
Yeah, yeah. He's had... And Madhav, he's actually this devotee Madhav that... Please take the bead bag off the ground.
No, sure.
He actually has two... I think, is it MAs or PhDs? One is in some science subject, and then he did one in philosophy also.
Uh-huh.
And then he joined ISKCON, and then he was actually on the Tattva Darshan's farm, but that, somehow or other it didn't work out there. He was there for some time also. So, in Hebri in Karnataka, they just started a project. I haven't been there. I'm sure they've got some good ideas there also. You could also go and see Tejas.
Yes.
But he's got a lot of good ideas, but so far it's only ideas.
But
what's his name?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Well, you could go and see him. But I mean, for actual practical, or you could see all these devotees and then you could go and see Tejas also. He's in Udupi. When he was a young man, he's over 60 now. He's been a devotee of... He's been a devotee and disciple of Prabhupada for about 40 years.
Mm.
When he was a young man, he's from America. Before he joined ISKCON, he was in India as an American Peace Corps worker in the jungles of Andhra Pradesh, showing the tribal people who didn't really... I mean, they were living for generations without Tejas before he went there. But he was showing them how to make... farm the land and this and that. Otherwise, probably, I don't know, they're probably hunting or whatever. So, he's studied a lot. You see, all over the world, there are many people who are conscious of the need for an alternative economy. The modern economy can't last forever.
Yes.
It's doomed to fail.
Yeah.
So there are many...
And it looks that the end is near, in fact.
Well, it's been looking like that for many years. So who knows?
It's still prolonging.
Who knows? When I was a kid, I was convinced the whole thing's just going to collapse soon.
Okay.
But somehow or other, it's going on.
Are they not allowing it to collapse?
Well, it's not in the...
Because once capitalism collapsed...
It's not in the control, yeah.
Now, during Hitler emerged because of collapse in capitalism.
Yeah.
Capitalism really started in 1850s,
1870s.
The stock market, New York... You know, the whole idea of capitalism started in 1870s.
Yeah.
And Hitler emerged after the failure of all the economies.
Yeah.
So now, you know, their intelligence is very strong. Maya, you know, the Pentagon and all that. They will not allow any revolution to happen.
Well, one way they're stopping revolution is this calm, crowed lobe.
Exactly.
Through the TV intoxication.
Exactly.
There's people are drugged up like anything.
The nerves lost.
All the in America, there's so many people on crack and cocaine and heroin and all this. There's literally tons of cocaine coming into America. Do you know this?
Happened? Yes.
There's literally tons of cocaine coming into America and every year. Now, their technology is so advanced, we're told, that they can, from their satellite in space, they can read the writing on a coin that has fallen on the street in Moscow. And they can't stop tons of cocaine coming into America. Shiploads, plane loads.
Yes.
They want it. I don't have evidence and I'm not going to go on a big campaign to try and find out. But it seems... One thing is they get... The people who are involved in the CIA and all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
No one's... regulating them, so they get, you know, they're also involved in it, they also get money. It's the biggest, what are the biggest businesses?
The government missionary fails.
The biggest businesses in the world are oil, defense, which means killing people, it means weapons. It's not for defense, it's for killing people. Defense, pornography, and drugs. So pornography, TV, sports, drugs. This keeps people in a stupor, so they can't. They
don't.
And another thing is
addiction.
In the Western world, if you don't work, they give you money.
dole.
So that also.
It's addiction.
Then people that makes you dull.
Lazy.
Then you won't work here. Then you won't work here.
Yeah.
So in this way, they're keeping people in a mental haze. So they're not going to rebel. But even if they rebel, so what? They don't have any positive alternative. They don't have anything better. What happens is, just like this Benazir Bhutto was just blasted to pieces, and they were claiming she was a great, you know, upholder of democracy, all this BS, as they say in America. But, you know, they talk about, you know, restoring the rights of the people, this, that, but when she came in power, she was just as dictatorial.
Well, she was corrupt too.
And corrupt. So in Burma, there's some other woman who's campaigning.
Su Kui.
Yeah. But you put her in power, she'll be just the same.
Same.
They'll exploit, or they'll and the Americans. When we say American, it's not actually America. It's the big business cartels. So the American government is just a front for all of that. So.
Mm.
So they'll open it up. They'll liberalize, which means they'll let in McDonald's, Coca-Cola, and the whole Burmese culture will be spoiled. Which the Burmese culture as it is at the present time is useless because there's no God consciousness. People believe in Buddha. There's no quest for understanding the purpose of life. But it's not nearly as degraded as the Western culture.
Mm.
So what are they going to gain? Isn't it? So there's all kinds of cheating at every level of society.
And they're not allowing the economy or the democratic setup to collapse because they expect another autocratic.
With democracy,
the Pentagon is continuously working.
Yeah. With democracy,
how to keep away other sources of opposition. They're constantly working. You know, they are fed with money.
With democracy, they can control people through the media, drugs, pornography, all these things.
Ah, exactly.
They control.
In other form of system,
it's psychological control, actually. Totality. That's why they hated Saddam and they hate Iran.
Ah, yeah.
They have been in Saudi Arabia. The government is no less autocratic than Saddam.
Mm. Yes.
But they go along with America.
I'll go along.
So America doesn't. And, you know, they don't have all the things that they said they wanted to get rid of the Taliban in Afghanistan because they don't allow women's rights. There's no women's rights in Saudi Arabia.
Mm, yes.
So, but they're not complaining that women in the Muslim countries have to go around in burqas.
Mm.
The American government's not making, they're not bombing Riyadh.
Saudi Arabia.
For that. It's just all propaganda. Actually, women's rights is another bogus. The whole concept of rights is all bogus.
Bogus.
First is duty, then you consider rights.
Uh-huh.
Equality is another bogus thing. They say all people, men and women are equal, all races are equal, all people are equal. It's all bogus. They're not all equal. Everyone's got different intelligence. Everyone, according to your karma, you're born with different facilities. Men and women are not the same. They'll never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Women are—they have, you know, women. They have during pregnancy. They go through so many hormonal changes during menstruation. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, most of the time during this menopause. I mean, about half the life of a woman is spent in like an emotional yo-yo.
Mm-hmm.
That's why women are not supposed to be in charge of anything.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be married and subordinate.
Mm-hmm.
And that they can be. Otherwise, if they're put in control of something, generally women, they become extremely autocratic. So this idea that men and women should do all the same things, and now there's women in the fighting against the in Iraq, in the army.
Mm-hmm.
Women's boxing championships. Nonsense. All nonsense. And the men, they're becoming homosexuals, like women. It's just crazy society. And they just say that all races are equal. If you say that blacks in general, or whatever the modern word is, Afro-Americans, are generally better at sports than whites, no one will complain.
Exactly.
Because everyone knows that physically they're brilliant.
Better designed.
And at dancing, they're natural at dancing and music and all these things. Mm. But if you say that Jews are naturally, they're good in entertainment and comedy and all this kind of thing, no one will complain. If you say that whites are generally more intelligent than blacks, well, you can't say that.
Mm.
You'll go to prison for saying that. If you say that physically blacks are better than whites, no problem. If you say that intellectually, in general, whites are better than blacks, no way. You can't speak the truth, the obvious truth.
Every race has got a specific advantage.
Yeah.
The lots...
Oh, put sugar in also. Good. It's supposed to be good for my cold. So there's so much nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
These programs, we have to distribute Prabhupada's books and give real knowledge.
Yes, yes, yes. And also, is there any chance?
We have to give education also. Don't mind me cutting you out, but I'm just
telling you. Yeah, no problem. I'm right.
We have to give systematic education in Prabhupada's books. Mm. Otherwise, what happens? What's going on in ISKCON at the moment is, we give, to a large extent, we give lip service to Prabhupada's books. But actually, the culture of ISKCON is quite materialistic at the present time. Our devotees, either living in the temple or living at home, they're very interested in making money and being considered socially respectable. The idea of alternative society that Prabhupada is talking about, they have no idea, they don't even know about it.
Right now we are in a dire need of it. You know, I think dire need is coming. You know, the time is coming for the
right.
We need to
educate people, our own devotees, in Vairagya Vidya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught
Vairagya Vidya.
Yeah. You can chant Hare Krishna and have a materially comfortable life, but to get the materially comfortable life, you have to dedicate your life toward materialism. So we need to educate our own members and the public, and we need to make these farm communities, these three programs. Preaching in general, that means having festivals, holding lectures, but book distribution, very important, distributing Prabhupada's books. Somehow or other, Prabhupada's books haven't been banned in most countries.
No, because it talks...
There are so many things which are really... against what modern society stands for.
Exactly.
It's amazing they haven't been banned. The number one distributed book all over the world, Bhagavad Gita as it is, clearly states that women's birth is lower. And Prabhupada states it several times, that women should never be given independence. Their intelligence is no more than that of a child. Somehow these books haven't been banned. It's surprising.
Is there a possibility of trying to mobilize people and make them wake up to the reality?
Yes.
How is there, can you give any clues on
yes,
that?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Preach Krishna consciousness. Distribute these books.
Right.
Make a positive... Show. Live. Make these farms. Show people it can be done. And educate, systematic education. Oh, there's another devotee I meant you should go and meet. In Pune.
Yeah.
Chaitanya Charan. Yeah, he's in ISKCON Pune.
Yeah, okay.
He comes to South India. At least when I saw him last, he just came from...
He came from Andhra Pradesh
somewhere in Varangal or something.
Varangal.
But the point is, he goes out also. So, to catch him. The other three devotees I told, and Gokul Chandran and Belgaum
Madhav.
Belgaum Madhav, Sabyasachi in Ahmedabad. And
what is the name of the person in Ahmedabad?
Sabyasachi. So they stay there all the time.
Sabyasachi.
Sabyasachi.
Savya. Savya.
Savya.
Sachi.
Gokulchandra is in Salem a lot of the time, but not all the time.
Okay.
And Chaitanya Charan, he's in Pune a lot of the time, but not all the time.
Okay.
Chaitanya Charan is an ideologist, you can say. He writes a lot.
Okay.
He's published regularly in this Speaking Tree. You know that comes in the... What's that? Is that the Hindu? One of the papers. He writes a lot about the foolishness of modern civilization.
It comes in the Hindu, is it?
Yeah.
They have a spiritual column.
Yeah. So it's... No, it's the Speaking Tree, which... Maybe that's Times of India.
Ah, yes, maybe. It could be Times of India.
I think it's that, Times of India.
Okay.
Which is a terrible atheistic magazine.
Newspaper.
But somehow, and India Today is the world.
Ah.
But somehow or other he's getting published in that, although he's not able to put everything straight on point. But he
writes something, yeah.
Yeah, and he writes lots of things also about the foolishness and disparities in modern society. So he's worth, you'd appreciate meeting him.
Okay.
Because he's, like I say, he's an ideologist. So we need that. We need people to do it practically, and we need, I'm somewhat of an ideologist, but I'm not full-time engaged in this because I'm busy with so many other things.
I mean,
everything is meant for this, for serving Prabhupada's mission of the re-spiritualization of society.
Mm.
Apart from this, I was busy now working on my book on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and several other books I'm doing, and I'm traveling and meeting people and sending things. I just go wash it.
ஆல்ரெடி ஒரு ரெண்டு மூணு ஒர்க் பண்ணி வச்சேன், அதெல்லாம் ஒர்க் ஆகாம போயிடுச்சு. இப்போ அதெல்லாம் திரும்ப ஒர்க் ஆனாலும் ஆகும் சொல்ல முடியாது. அது கிரை கிரேஸ்
இவரோட கிரேஸ்,
கிருஷ்ணருடைய கிரேஸு. இவரை பார்த்து அப்படி மூவ் ஆகும். இல்லை இது எப்படின்னா கிரேஸ் கண்ணி இவருக்கு தெரிஞ்சு ஆமாம். இது நம்ம உங்ககிட்ட பேசுகிறோம்ல, நமக்கு ஒரு ஐடியா கிடைக்கும். இந்த மாதிரிலாம் இருக்காங்க, அந்த மாதிரிலாம் இருக்காங்க, புரியுதுங்களா உங்களுக்கு? ஒரு நாலு பேர் ரெஃபர் பண்ணார், லாமியா பார்த்துட்டு இருக்காங்க பூனே. அப்போ அங்கே போய் பார்க்க ஒரு எல்லாரும் அதாவது என்னென்னா லைட் மைண்டடா அவர் சொல்கிறார். இது வந்து என்னன்னா அந்த திங்கிங்கில் வர்றாங்க ரொம்ப கஷ்டம், சோஷியல் திங்கிங்கில் வர்றாங்க. அந்த பேர்ல அவர் வியாபாரம் பண்ணிட்டு இருக்காரு. அந்த பேர்ல அவரு அதாவது அந்த பேர்ல எல்லாம் வண்டி ஓட்டுறாங்க. மூணு இடம்
பண்ணிருக்காரு,
இல்ல அதுக்கு முன்னாடியே நடக்கும். இல்ல இப்ப நாங்க வந்ததே என்ன
that is what's it called? Kasai, this drink?
Kasai manera. Panakam.
Panakam is different.
What is this drink?
No. Kasai, I think they call it.
Kasai.
I think better, you're going to give it again in the afternoon. Don't put guru, put some black salt would be better.
No guru.
Yeah.
Okay.
I should stop taking sweets for some time. Sweet is kapvarda, except honey. Although I'm, you know, as you may have noticed, I like sweets. Then we put some black salt. And I shouldn't take sweets at midday. Tell Mataji. Yes, so I suggest you go on a spiritual pilgrimage.
Ah, meet all the devotees.
Meet different devotees, particularly these ones I'm mentioning
right.
to you.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe go and spend two or three... Well, especially like in Belgaon and Ahmedabad, on the land, you can go and spend and see what they're doing and maybe do a little work with them and see what it's like, you know, practically.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful to be just to be out there in the middle of no in the country with no electricity and you know, at night all there is the sound of some cricket or something like this.
Ah.
I had a wonderful experience once.
There's a lot of farm communities in the United States.
Not really.
Oh, right.
They have farms, but they're...
Oh, New Zealand, do they have a big farm?
The thing is, in the Western, most of our farms, the devotees are living there, but they don't do much farming.
Uh-huh.
They collect money and or they work in the city and live on the land, which is, there's no point in it.
Ah, okay. We need to live in it, integrated farming.
The point is we have...
And spend Krishna consciously, engage in Krishna consciousness.
Some...
Till the land, engage in Krishna consciousness.
In Brazil, there's something good going on. In Hungary, in Indonesia...
Oh, right.
There's some things.
As far as South is concerned, not much of an idea like what we've discussed.
South India?
Nothing at all. Maybe Karnataka, as you said. Belgaum is coming.
Even this idea to protect the cow, now they're having these Go Sammelans, but some idea is there, but you have to... the way the whole, you know about these Gosha Melans, there have been two in the last year or so. Huge gatherings.
But is it possible to create, how about Krishna consciousness?
Oh, Krishna. Yeah.
How about Krishna consciousness leaders entering? This
that's,
is all working on one angle, on a floor work.
Well,
this is more a floor work.
That's true. But
this is more about floor management.
Yeah, well, it seems to me that Prabhupada's idea was to change from the bottom up.
Ah.
That we have to show something practical. Prabhupada, he didn't have so much the idea that our people should become leaders. But he would, not like administrators, but his ideas were that our devotees should become so ideal that those who are administrators, they will listen to them.
Ah, right.
That we're not going to get involved in politics and becoming
exactly.
this and
right.
president and this and that. If someone was there who was willing to listen, Prabhupada would preach to them. But most these politicians, they're not the leaders. They're all pawns. That's like Saddam.
Yeah.
They had to get rid of it because he didn't go along with America.
Right.
But even the politicians in America, it doesn't, now the election's coming up. Is it going to be Democratic or Republican? Doesn't make any difference.
Well, it's the same.
The overall picture, it doesn't make any difference. Whether it's there may be a little something different, but the basic thing is going to go on.
It's already set.
It's already
set.
They don't have any power to change anything fundamentally. They can. Their social policies may be different this way and that way, so it may seem that there's some difference.
The direction is the same.
But the actual way society is set up is going on, and it's all in the hands of the big businesses.
Mm.
This war in Iraq, it's only it's
oil companies.
Oil and
companies.
Yeah, and the war is a great business. It's,
mm.
You know, weapons. These
about 60, 80, $100 billion they make.
These missiles, even one missile will cost more than $100,000, and they're firing them off just like kids.
Very expensive toys.
Kids playing with fireworks.
Uh-huh.
So, there's huge money. So that's not going to change. I don't read the newspaper or watch the TV or see the news on the internet. I do. Even that Benazir was blown up, someone told me, I didn't know. Sometimes I see, but I don't know what they're talking about in the American election campaign, but I don't know if anyone's talking. Is anyone talking about coming out of Iraq? I don't think so.
No, not at all.
The
main structure remains the same. They can only tinker outside.
Yeah, they're not even talking about it.
Ah.
If anyone said, that let's get out of Iraq, they'd probably win the election. But such a person will never get in line to be. They'll never allow such a person to come
speak.
Up. To become a presidential candidate. And because you have to go through a whole system, right? To become
a
presidential candidate. You have to have financial backing. Or even if the president, even if somewhere other, just like a few years ago, there was an independent billionaire who wanted to stand as president.
Mm.
Some guy he funded himself. But even say he did become president and he had radically different policies, the Senate and Congress would block it.
Yeah.
Or they'd kill him, like they killed John F. Kennedy.
Right.
So you can't win that way. But we have to change the consciousness of the people. That's you see, even if we say we got a... Okay, we'll go and preach to Manmohan Singh and tell him that, okay, we should have an alternative economy. And he agrees... But the rest of the party won't agree. Or even if we got a dictator, okay, we'll go and preach to the chief of the armed force or the chief
dictator.
Of the head of the army. Well, actually, there are four armies and there's no one. There's no one leader, I think. Is it like that?
We have three, all of them reporting, and president is the head of all the.
Yeah, there's no. But the army, I think there's four armies.
There's a army
south,
chief.
East, west. There's one overall chief.
Yeah, there is one chief.
Okay, so I don't know who it is. Say if we went and preached to him, and he says, okay, I'm going to make a coup and take over the country by military force.
Mm.
So, and then he instituted all these things. Okay, stop all the Bollywood movies, prostituting all the women, stop the animal slaughter. Stop the tea and coffee. The people wouldn't go along with it. So even if you do get
people
a leader...
People become addicted.
Even if you get a leader
who
wants to force the people to do, it won't work. The people have to be convinced. Otherwise it can go on for a short time. But then the people, what they won't go along with it. Or they'll resent it. They'll hate it.
They're already addicted to a certain lifestyle.
Yeah. If we tell, if you want to elect someone who says, now we're going to stop all this nonsense on TV, we're going to stop smoking, we're going to stop meat eating, they'll never get elected. So we have to check.
Values and popularity.
The leader, the Krishna conscious leader, we also, it's also, I'm not saying we shouldn't have it, but we... But we need the groundwork should be solid. And then such leadership will emerge and it will be accepted.
So you mean to say that the horizontal expansion should go more ahead
ground level
than thinking about a vertical?
No, all levels. It's not that we shouldn't preach to the leaders, but unless we... have something unless we have something at the grassroots, then it's all going to remain theoretical. And the leaders, they also won't listen, because even if they agree with it theoretically, they're not going to believe it unless they see it in practice. We have to show something in practice. And It's not, like I say, it's not a small thing. We might take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 generations to do this. It's the idea that we'll go and preach to leaders and everything will change. It's like romantic and it's a nice idea. But it might work, you don't know. But in this manner of working, at least we know that we are definitely affecting some people. Whereas
we had Abdul Kalam, he was talking something, you know. But again, down the line, now he too...
No, he's out of picture.
But he's
also, you know, he doesn't have the right idea. He was all the time promoting Indian nationalism and scientific progress. He's not on the right. He's not Krishna conscious.
Yes.
He's a man of the modern era.
Mm, exactly, precise. No, he's out of picture now. He's not visible as well now. Mm. When he was a president, his voice was heard.
Mm.
And as you said, the voice was on the lines of nationalism, scientific progress.
Mm.
But he mentioned about values, but he didn't project the importance of values.
Yeah, just saying the word values.
That's all. But he didn't project the word value and what it meant by value.
Yeah, then just talk.
That is mere talk.
Yeah.
And now he's out of picture as well.
He wrote some books. I don't know what's
it. Yeah, yeah. Wings of Fire.
Yeah.
But now he's out of picture.
So we shouldn't rely on these people.
Ah.
Vishvaso naiva kartavya srishu raja kuleshu.
No, I met Abdul Kalam. I met Kalam.
Do you know this saying?
Mm.
Prabhupada quoted from Chanakya Pandit.
Yeah,
he used to quote.
Uh-huh.
Vishvaso naiva kartavya srishu raja kuleshu cha. One should never trust a woman or a politician.
Ah. Raja kulatiyo penneyo namba kudara.
You met Abdul Kalam.
Ah. Yes.
One man I know in Baroda, he's an RSS.
It is a quote from Chanakya?
Chanakya Pandit. Prabhupada quotes it many times.
Oh.
One RSS
ideologue,
or whatever you want to call them, in Baroda, he told me he met the president. I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Zayal Singh or something. One of the presidents.
Okay.
He met him. And he was... this... Dr. Nene, who's the RSS man, he was saying there's this problem in India and that. And the president said, no, actually you're wrong. That's not the cause of all the problem. The cause of the problem is us politicians. He said, if you really want to solve all the problems, you should line up all the politicians against a wall, including myself, and shoot them.
Ah.
And Dr. Nene said, I'll quote you on that. He said, you can if you like, I'll deny it.
He's a politician. I met Abdul Kalam 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
It was about 15 minutes. We had a small discussion.
Where?
At Chennai Airport.
I see.
And I had good flow of thoughts and he was taking a lot of input from my letters and all that.
Mm.
And he took a lot of quotes, words and everything.
He took means?
No, I used to write to the President Kalam.
Uh-huh.
Forming a better India, you know, all this and that. And he used to take some input, a few points from my letters.
Mm-hmm.
And he had
took means me. What? He quoted them or what?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he took ideas and points from my letters.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke in many meetings all over India. He had quoted many meetings my words.
Mm-hmm. Such as what things did
you put? Like about, you know, Vision 2020, values, you know, whatever I was trying to put in. He projected as though it is this and, you know, he got a projection.
Mm.
And he met me for about 15 minutes. We discussed and...
What language did you speak in, by the way?
Tamil.
Mm.
I'm a Tamil and he's also a Tamil.
I know that, yeah.
And we speak in English. Tamil? Yeah, he speaks good Tamil. We speak in English, he just speaks in Tamil.
No, I mean when I say good Tamil, I mean like the higher language or what? Because he was from Rameshwaram, so he must have been speaking...
Oh, very, very normal speaking Tamil. He was not a Tamil expert or a scholar.
Okay.
He didn't sense scholarly.
Mm.
He sensed very friendly.
Mm. Okay.
I mean, he was very friendly and he was using a very friendly language,
not
a scholarly language.
Okay.
And like what, you know, like ultimately, you know, like... even his ideas, there's no vent for his ideas even now.
Mm.
President is out of picture.
But he was popular even before he became the president.
Yes, yes. Because he is he's a scientist.
He was a successful scientist.
No, he was a successful scientist.
Which is why they made him the president. Well, they made him the president because he's a Muslim who's more like a Hindu. And and a known public figure. It was a good choice.
Right.
I mean, from the politician's point of
view. But even from him, you know, nothing worked out. He didn't make it as a people's movement.
No, he can't. You can't do it. President, what can
I insisted to make it as a people's movement.
What can the president do? He doesn't...
No, but even after his presidency, being a president, you can't mobilize people against corruption or anything. Maybe after his term, at least, he should have come forward and... even that he stopped.
He's probably just relaxing now. He's about to be president. It's heavy service. For 5 years, was it?
Yes, 5 years. And I even initiated, you know, I told him, why not we make it a mass movement? And no response.
Mass movement means you have to dedicate yourself fully.
And, you know, people like him can do it.
Gandhi had a mass movement. Vinoba Bhave had a mass movement. And still India is such a mess. You know, because they didn't have... mass movement's all right, but you have to have the right idea, otherwise...
Exactly, all the...
You see, this Bhudan...
but having the right idea, I don't have a mass, or you don't have...
This Vinoba Bhave is Bhudan, he had this idea. The landlord should give the land to the small farmers, but... So he did that, but the small farmers, they have so many problems nowadays. It didn't solve all their problems. So, like this man came in just when you came, he was saying, I have so many problems, everyone has so many problems. And the problems will go on. So we should live in such a manner that we don't increase the problems. That means living simply the way that God has given us. And we should cultivate Krishna consciousness. The only real problem is forgetfulness of Krishna.
Yes.
That is the real problem.
Real problem. An action by forgetting Krishna lands up in this.
Yeah. So what are you doing with yourself nowadays?
Yeah, see, I am basically a textile engineer. I am from Australia. I worked in New Zealand.
You were born in Australia or what?
No, I was born in India.
When did you go to Australia?
It was in the year 92.
I see.
Yeah, I was there till 94.
You studied there or you did?
I studied there.
And you were working?
I was working in New Zealand.
I see.
I'm a textile engineer.
That means you are... New Zealand means mixing wool with...
wool and all that. So they are very good in wool research and very strong in wool research. And they export, you know, income is wool.
Yeah, New Zealand is...
to China.
New Zealand's economy depends on sheep.
Sheep, yeah. And...
more sheep than people.
Yes. And from there I came down to India and, came down to India and I was working here for some time. I was into business as well. Then after that, you know, I lost my mother. Then I came into Krishna consciousness.
You never married?
No, I'm not married. I'm 30 plus. 30 plus. So I lost my mother. Then after that, you know, the search, quest... you know, tragic loss in relationship took me to Krishna consciousness. And I met devotees and I did some service and chanting. And right now what I did, then I was working in a textile mill as an assistant manager. I quit the mill and I wanted to do something. And I have a social platform where the speakers come, talk.
You have some registered society or something?
Yes. My name is Varaha's Gurukul.
What's it called?
Varaha's Gurukul. So with that, you know, that's sort of a platform where people come and talk about social problems.
It means you have a school running?
Yeah, yes. And I teach yoga in that.
Where is it?
It's in West Mamalam. So instead of again getting into, I'm a textile engineer, but I don't want to do anything on industry based to keep my body, you know. Some maintenance I must have. And when I went into all this textile business and all that, you know, as you said, you know, trusting, loyalty, you know, cheating, everything is in business. So I was not able to protect my soul. You understand? Unless we cheat, you can't...
Unless you're dishonest, you can't do anything in business.
So in order to protect my soul, I started to teach yoga. I take yoga classes and I'm a trainer at schools and colleges.
I see.
I do this personality development and I also do some
personality development means how to be, you know, how to keep a smile on your face while you're smiling. How to pretend you're something you're not.
You're not, yeah.
And how to fool yourself and others that you're happy.
Yeah.
When you're not.
That's modern day.
And how to make you resilient to all the tension and stress and anxiety as you go out into this bad world.
So, I also take classes for MBA students.
Which students?
MBA.
Mm.
Business management.
Yeah.
I do sometimes.
It's amazing. You can teach this personality development.
Ah.
It's like, say, if you wanted to teach textile engineering, you'd have to be qualified. You'd have to have some personality development. Anyone can just come along and say, I'm teaching it. And they, okay, teach it.
Yes.
Just start talking, that's all.
Exactly, that's right. There's nothing much in it.
You should be qualified if you're going to teach people how to change their lives and mold their character.
We should have had an experience, we should have been qualified. And I do this, you know, like basically I take some leadership training in some companies.
How to be a good rat in the race.
The competition and...
How to be a successful rat. Actually, we call it a rat race, but the rats, they're actually very cooperative among themselves. Not humans.
They don't push each other. They all go run fast.
Rats work for the common good.
Exactly.
Humans don't.
They don't. They push each other in the same.
Rats, crows,
they
also work for the common good.
Yes. The common good is missing in today's society.
What to speak
General
of?
Society.
What to speak of? Bees and ants. Bees and ants are the ideal communists. Very well organized.
Yeah.
No PhDs.
So, you know, like I don't have a big voice or I don't have a big heritage.
I don't
have big money and my voice is not heard.
Well, the thing is...
But the world needs all this to get the voice.
The thing is, the big voice, the only real big voice is Krishna.
Krishna, exactly.
So if we speak what Krishna says,
then
it's a bona fide voice.
Yes.
Just like you can say that President Bush has a big voice.
Hmm.
But it's talking all nonsense. So what's the use? It's a big volley of nonsense. So a little bit of the real thing is worth tons of rubbish.
Even a small bit.
What is better, a tiny piece of gold or a big mountain of garbage? A big mountain of garbage is just a nuisance. So better to have a little piece of gold than a whole mountain of garbage. So if you have Krishna's voice, you have a big voice. Right?
Yes.
The attitude of a Vaishnava is that we simply want to serve
Krishna.
The mission of our acharyas who have come into this world as representatives of Krishna. So as their servants are attempting to be their servants, we speak what Krishna speaks. And we try our best to inculcate Krishna's message in the world. And if Krishna wants, he can make us his instrument for spreading that Krishna consciousness. But we don't think that I must be greater than Ramanuja. We don't think like that.
He chooses.
I have to be big. We don't think like that. We have ambition in one sense that we want to do something.
Do something, yeah.
For Krishna. But at the same time, we understand that man proposes and
God disposes. Our inability.
We can try, but whether or not our voice will be very widely heard in human society, it's really up to Krishna.
Krishna.
Prabhupada was preaching so many years in India, and there was no real apparent effect. And even when he went to America for the first year, there wasn't much going on. Then it started to pick up gradually, and then
then it picked up, and then from about 1968 until Prabhupada departed in 77, it was just amazing how it spread so quickly.
9 years.
But Prabhupada, he was just this, before Prabhupada was known as a worldwide preacher, he was the same pure devotee. His intention was not any different. His purity of purpose, his surrender to Krishna, didn't change. But when the time was right, when Krishna wanted, then he gifted Prabhupada, you could say.
Purity of purpose.
Yeah.
Purity
of purpose, it's not my words ever. It's
Krishna's words.
Well, you see through Prabhupada.
Ah.
So, the whole...
We go on and he takes care of everything. We do our bit.
And the main consciousness of Vaishnava has to imbibe is that I am the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. There are two things in ISKCON is based on two things, which, of course, you can say in many ways. Prabhupada gave seven purposes of ISKCON, and you can say, but there are some words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu which summarize the activities of ISKCON, which are, he specifically said this for Indian people, Janma Sata Kari Kara Para Upaka. Bharata Bhumite Hoyla Manusha Janmaja. Those who are born in India, especially. Janma Sata Kari Koro Para Upaka. One should make one's own life successful by Krishna consciousness and work for the benefit of others.
Work for the benefit of others.
Yeah. So, the two things are interlinked. We can't actually do anything to help others unless we ourselves are purified by the process of Krishna consciousness. So we have to ourselves follow very carefully the process of sadhana and self-purification.
Before extending any help to others, we have to be very strong on our Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, well, we can begin to help others even at the beginning of our Krishna conscious life. Just like even in the beginning, we may not be very advanced or very much understand what we're doing, but we can go out and offer Prabhupada's books to others. And that will help them. So we don't have to become a complete, Mahabhagavat Paramahamsa before we can do
anything. We can get started.
The thing is that we always see ourselves as an assistant to the real great devotees. And in that capacity, we can try to help others, that's all. But we have to start with ourselves.
I understand.
Now, if you have the time, I would suggest you go to Salem.
Okay.
Because right now, for some days, they're doing some intensive study courses there.
Okay.
So I just spoke to the leader there, the leader of the group, and he told me they're doing some intensive study courses there. Okay. So that would be a good time to go, and you could tune into that.
Right, okay.
It's guided study.
They'll
be having some courses like that, so that would be good.
You'll go on for how many days?
Probably for another... let me see. I'm not sure. You have to phone and see. But it'll be going on. And then we'll all go to Sri Rangam together. That will be on the weekend of the 2nd and 3rd
of February. Once the course is done there.
I'm not sure how long they'll go on with that, because they'll go out for preaching again. But right now, because it's the Pongal season, then they're not going out so much. They're just sitting on the land they have developed. They got 3-point-something acres of land just outside Salem. And they just developed some, they made a temporary shed as a temple, and they made out of the old system, they made out of mud, and what were the other things they used? The local clay?
Husk, mud husk.
The husk, rice husk.
Did This yeah. light color, it becomes something.
Lime.
Lime also they used.
Chuna. So they made walls out of it.
They made bricks.
And with the bricks, they built walls.
But they didn't fire the bricks.
No. Just dried in the sun.
Dried in the sun.
Okay.
They made the thick walls. They're not using electricity.
Okay. Fine.
It's good. When in the evening, if there's no electricity, then you, what can you do? You just come and you chant Hare Krishna. Mm. That's what people used to do in the villages. They'd work in the day, and then after sundown, they'd come together and they'd hear Ramayana, Ram Katha, or Mahabharat Katha, like this. This is what they'd do. Or they'd sing Kirtan. That's what they used to do. Mm. Now they watch TV. So that would be good.
Yeah, I made a few efforts to mobilize people, but it didn't work out.
You have to have a clear direction yourself. You don't have a clear direction.
Right.
Another thing is, Sange Shakti Kalo Yuge. In Kali Yuga, strength comes from numbers.
Association. Yeah, you told me that the other day.
Yeah. So we have to work together with and under the guidance of devotees who know what the direction is.
Right.
So I suggest you go on a pilgrimage then. You can go to Salem and you could spend some days in Belgaon, Pune.
Okay. I'll meet all these people. Ahmedabad. I'll make it as an agenda.
Yeah.
I'll try to meet all these people, say within about 6 months to 8 months.
Yeah.
I'll complete the entire belt. And in the meantime, I would like to be in constant touch with you. So, you know, like I like to be reflected upon. You know, like I would like to reflect myself.
Well,
and I would like to be guided as well.
It's difficult to be in touch with me because I deliberately don't keep a cell phone.
Okay, but okay. But whenever you come down to Tamil Nadu,
I do answer emails.
How do I know your movement?
I keep it brief. I don't.
I'll come in search of you. Don't worry about it.
Well, I'll tell you. I'm in Tamil Nadu now until approximately the end of last day of February.
Okay.
I'll be leaving for Hyderabad.
Okay.
In between, I'll be going to Sri Lanka for a week or so.
Okay.
So. Yeah, then I'll go to Hyderabad, then I'll go to Calcutta, Bangladesh, then Mayapur, then I'll be in North India.
Okay.
And probably in late May, something like this, I'll come down to Tamil Nadu again.
Again, yeah.
Briefly. This time I'll come briefly.
Okay.
And not just to see what's going on, that's all.
Okay.
I'm not going to...
But whenever you come down to Tamil Nadu, you'll have...
My schedule's on my web. I have a website.
Okay, yeah.
Which I hardly visit myself, but some
disciples. Who updates? Yeah, disciples update.
Yeah, but whenever I send my schedule, I send it to this BBKS Sangha. It's a conference I send things to daily.
Okay.
So, it comes.
What's your website address?
BBKS.com. And there's the. You want to write to Gaur Bhagavan? Do you use email regularly?
Ah, yes.
Then. Oh, I already in Chennai. Mataji I introduced to Gaur Bhagavan for that. So get the address sent to Gaur Bhagavan, and then you can get daily inputs.
Okay.
I send usually just a few lines.
Okay.
And then if some philosophical questions go on there also.
Okay. So your email, can I pick it up from bbks.com or?
Well, the letters usually goes to there and then it's sent to me like that. Because I don't want to give, I already have far too much email.
Okay.
So I don't, you know, I don't advertise it.
Okay, fine.
It's difficult keeping up with it.
Right.
It's really tough. I mean, I'm never up with it. I'm always behind.
Okay, no problem. I'll search you and I'll locate you.
So it's not such a good way to contact me by email anyway. Because
okay, fine.
I'll never write long replies on email.
Okay.
Whatever it is.
How long you stay in Salem every time you come down to Tamil Nadu?
Well, different time. This time I was, what?
1 month, around a month.
About half a month, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm spending, by the time I finished here, it'll be about a month here also.
That's okay. More than...
Is it, yeah. Then I'll be in Sri Ranga. I'm planning on going there for 5 or 6 days, something.
Okay.
I'll spend a few extra days there.
Mm-hmm.
When Kinchan comes, I'll discuss with him exactly. I'll get some better idea of what I'm doing. That we also have to finalize with you. We'll finalize the Sri Lanka dates, and then I think probably you can go straight from Chennai to Howrah and get your visa. We'll work that. I let the Sri Lanka flights be.
I may be also going to Sri Lanka.
Yeah, yeah. That's the idea. So let that be finalized. You have to do it one step at a time. When the Sri Lanka dates are finalized, then we can do the next one, the next step.
It's not fixed too much time.
It's not fixed until he gets the ticket. It might not be available or whatever. Because I want, and then I have to get the next one, and then the next one. You see, so step by step. Bangladesh is more or less finalized, at least the dates of going and coming back. And then after that, I have to see what to do. I'm still waiting for word from Burma about going there. Then after that, I want to go to
Badrinath? Mayapur.
No, I'll be in Mayapur. No, I'll be in Mayapur, then I'll go to Burma, I'll go to Dalton Ganj.
You told me, okay, so.
Maybe I'll go to Varanasi, and then Delhi, Badrinath, and Punjab, Gujarat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then Dubai. And I have to spend some time in Bombay again. Then I'll come to South, and then go probably back up to Gujarat for Rath Yatra.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll go to the West.
Right.
And you won't see me for 2 months.
Anyway, this is my contact address and the telephone.
Okay, fine.
And
I'll be doing some program in Chennai.
Okay. I'll attend all your programs.
You're coming to see.
But I'll be in when I come back from Rameshwaram.
15th.
Then I'll be doing a program in with
Avadi, which Sevakapati.
Yeah, I'll be in Avadi.
Avadi.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's 1 week later, 22nd. I'll be doing a program which is it's near to West Mumbai with Ranga Krishna. He lives around that.
Yeah. Ranga Krishna lives near.
No, but this program is arranged on 28th February, and then you'll go to Hyderabad from there.
No, that must be 28th. 28th.